Morning, everyone. So it's always exciting for me to come back to Westlock. You guys are a second family for Laura and I when we come here. We just always feel just welcomed. And remember, you guys are part of the team now, so we really appreciate that. Oh, here we go. There we go. So I wanted to just share a story about, well, the upper story is what I call it, and, you know, how we go through life and we're not really aware of, well, we know where we think we're going, but we don't always know where God's going to move us to. And so this is a story about Nehemiah and basically how it got going and stuff. And so I want to talk a little bit about the upper story. And some of the things I need you to remember, I'll swing back to that right at the end. But I've been saved for 27 years. I've been doing missions for 26 years. And I've been working in northern Kenya for 17 years now. So that's sort of what you have to remember. And I'll come back and tell you the story about that. But, you know, the upper story, when we got to Turkana, we were going to do building. That's Nehemiah Construction Ministries. And I didn't realize what God had in plan for us, but he needed to get us there somehow, and construction was the way he got us to the Turkana Desert. And so we started building a community center, which is still up and standing. It's used for, it's 17 years old now, and they use it for a church, and they use it for meetings, and it's a beacon right in that community. It's brought light to the community of Lockeray. And it wasn't very long before we realized, I think it was probably 2 or maybe 3 days, that I realized they don't need any more buildings. The Turkana people need water. The children are dying because they don't have water. And so, you know, me being, I guess, practical, I wouldn't say I'm very smart, but I'm practical. And I thought, well, we should be able to bring water somehow. And so it took me about 3 years probably to you know, figure out the logistics, and we tried raising money to drill water wells ourselves, and it just never worked out. So basically, I brought a guy with me, Stuart Rempel, and I think I've told you the story, but he was just impacted by this woman taking sewage water out of the street that had overflowed into the street, and she was taking that home for her family. And I Stuart's right with me, and he just broke down into tears, and he said, we can't do this. We have to do something. And he came home, and he raised funds for our first drilling rig. Well, as you can see, it wasn't much. And this is a picture of our tractor. I think it was a 1966 four-wheel drive construction tractor. And when we first saw it, it was just in pieces. So they put it back together, and we made 15 kilometers with it. And we had it broke down on the side of the road. So needless to say, we did have some struggles in the beginning. Even with our drilling rig, again, the drilling rig, they said they rebuilt it and everything. But again, we're talking Kenya. Not my kind of rebuild, but their kind of rebuild. So the drilling rig, we started way off in the desert. And we made 6 meters, and the engine blew up. And so we were done drilling. But God was very faithful. And, you know, that's when Dave Nelson came back into my life. Many of you know that Dave Nelson and I were, no, I was going to say childhood sweetheart, but that's not. childhood friends. Sorry. Childhood friends. And we fell apart. We started got separated when Laura and I got saved and we got to know the Lord. You know, Dave was he was still outside the fence, but God brought us together in this time. And God brought us an engine and stuff, and then I phoned Dave Nelson. He was up. He was on his tractor. He's doing his fall work. And I said, Dave, I talked to you a little while ago. Did you get your shots? We're going to Kenya. And What? And so that's how that started. He came to Kenya with me 2007, right? 2007. And we went out to the desert and we put this engine in into the drilling rig and we started drilling from there. It's been an adventure. Everything that we wanted to do, basically we were always doing the Jesus video, but we wanted to do it bigger. We wanted to share with more people. And so we brought a projector and we brought a big bed sheet and we'd stretch it out. The first time we ever showed the Jesus video was on a 13-inch TV out of the back of a Land Rover, and we had 150 people around watching the Jesus video in the Turkana language. And that's sort of where we started. We thought, wow, you know, they're hungry for the gospel. They need water. And so we started. And, you know, as we moved along, yeah, you know what, you always make mistakes and stuff, but God just keeps you going in a direction. And so everything we did, we always tried to teach people. We wanted to leave them with something. Like, I've been doing missions a long time now, and I have to say that a lot of mission organizations are not doing it the way I would do it. How's that sound? Politically correct. And we have to leave them. We have to teach them. We can't just go in and just keep throwing money at things because it doesn't work. And so we wanted to, you know, make a difference and try and teach them, educate them. And so basically we started drilling water wells, and now we have clean water. And through that, then all of a sudden, I think back then we had, there was probably, when this picture was taken, we had about 40 water wells. And so I started to realize that God started to speak to me about the ripple effect. And, you know, water, you throw a stone in the water and it ripples out and it just keeps going for infinity. And so basically it's, you never know when the small things that you do will be what God uses to do great things. And when we started out doing Nehemiah Construction Ministries, we were not looking at doing, like we were doing construction, right? We're going to pound some nails, we're going to build a thing. That's easy. I can do that, no problem. But God had other plans that at the time he wasn't sharing with me. So, but the ripple effect now, as I look at it and see what God has done through, you know, a few people that were obedient to go out into this desert. And, you know, Pastor Wilson was one of them. Pastor Wilson, he started this ministry. But when I was there last year, but one, that's how they say it, in 2019, he started talking to me about his brother-in-law, Peter, that was in the desert before Pastor Wilson ever was. So Peter sort of introduced Pastor Wilson. So, you know, you see how God just moves people where he needs them for the time he needs them. So as we kept moving forward, we really figured out this picture. You know, when I first saw this commotion going on, I thought it was politicians flying into the airport because Kenyans are really political and they just love their politicians and stuff. And so I started talking to some people and they said, no, that's a young Turkana girl. She is the first Turkana girl to get a college education. And so there's probably about 300 people. They brought, you know, some instruments and drums and they cheered her on and they sang songs and they, you know, they really celebrated this young woman that got an education, first in Turkana. And so I got to thinking, you know, education is such an important thing. But again, we're thinking small, right? So Lauer Philemon, he's a young guy I met about 6 years ago. And I think I've shared his story, but long story short, we started to, we paid for his way to go through nursing school. His heart was to go through nursing school. And his father had died. His mother, basically, she carried water 24 hours, like all day long. She would carry water for all her neighbors so that she could put Lauer in school. And he was the only one of her four or five children that went to school. He was the oldest, and she saw the value in education. But she didn't have enough money to send him into high school. She got him through primary school. So this is the Chief Amos, and he saw this boy that He had finished primary school, but he couldn't get to high school. So finally he got him into high school. And then he wanted to go be a nurse, but he didn't have any money. So his mom couldn't pay, so Chief Amos again went. And he went out on his motorcycle from little village and hut to hut, collecting 5 cents here, 5 shillings here, right? To put this boy into nursing school. And when I heard that story, I thought, this is what we need to do. We need to start educating some Turkana kids, young people, so that they'll come back. And his heart was always to come back into his village and make a difference. And so basically, 3 years now, he's a nurse. And this is just a recent photo that I took of him. And he's got a promotion, so he's out in a village way out in the desert. And like he's taking care of hundreds of people. So you think about that, that ripple effect. So we educate one guy, and now he's changing the lives of thousands of people. And we couldn't do that, right? And that, it just keeps going like this. God just keeps putting people in our path. And we, you know, you sow a little seed here, and then all of a sudden he just shows you this incredible thing that he's doing. I mean, all I'm, sorry to say, I'm just not that smart. So then I ran into Florence. And Dave and I met Florence probably 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago now. And she had started her college. Her father was paying for college and stuff, but her father passed away. She did have the money to finish her last year of college, but there was four young men in her village that they were pretty good in school, but they didn't have an opportunity to go to high school, so she took her money and put four young men into high school. And I thought, Dave, we need to put her through school. This is the kind of woman that we need on our team with Nehemiah to see what God is going to do. So she finished her school, and so after I had my back surgery, no, just before I had my back surgery, so that was about 2.5 years ago now, before, and she came to me and she met me at the airport, and she said, oh, Dave, she said, so exciting, I'm teaching 50 women how to do exactly what you guys taught me to do. I thought, wow, that's incredible. How can this get any better? So God wasn't finished yet, so I had my back surgery. I didn't think I'd ever be back to Kenya again. But God had other plans. I had my back surgery. I've been back to Kenya 4 times now already. And last year when I went to the airport again, Florence, she drives on a little scooter, 100cc, about 120 kilometers out of the desert to come to the airport to greet me at the airport to say thank you for my education. And she's there for 5 minutes, gives me a hug, and now she's gone back to the desert to be with her people. I'm thinking, I don't even understand how this woman thinks, right? But she is so appreciative of her education. So this is her, basically, again, this was November of 2019. They had 100-year flooding in the desert, and it washed away all of her crops. But now she was teaching, she came to the airport. She's teaching 155 women how to do exactly what she was doing. And so this is her gardens out in the desert. Cabbages, Swiss chard, peppers, tomatoes, onions, all this stuff. And it all got washed away. But Florence being Florence, she didn't let that stop her. She just, when we were there in January, she said, oh yeah, we've already got them planted. We've got the seeds coming, or the seeds are already in. Everything's coming up again. It didn't let her stop her in the least. So she's teaching 155 women out in the desert how to, basically she's replicating herself, how to grow the produce and get it to market so that now all these women are taking care of their families. So now that's impacting hundreds of people in this village, probably thousands, because they're selling it too. And so just in last September 2019, Pastor Wilson, he finally, I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but he finally planted a church in Lodwar where he felt God wanted him to plant the church in the first place, but they could never get there. God had to move all these obstacles, and it's right in the middle of a slum. The worst part of Lodwar, like all of Lodwar is pretty bad, but this is the worst part. And that's where Pastor Wilson wanted to be. I want to be there with the prostitutes, the alcoholics, the drug addicts. That's where we want to be. And so they planted a church there. And Pastor Wilson was sharing with the prostitutes. You know, they would come to church, and a lot of them, they were drunk and they were high and stuff. And he would start to share with them about, you know, not, we shouldn't be selling our Bible, you know, selling our bodies. And they'd say to him, well, how can we support our children? We have to support, which you can't argue with that. A mother wants to take care of her children. So Florence, again, she says, well, Pastor, we can't do this. We have to come up with a solution. So her solution was, I'm going to start a school to teach the prostitutes how to do basket weaving so they can make money. They don't have to sell their bodies. So by herself, she went out. She got the training to do the basket weaving. She found a couple of women in the market that wanted, they were Christians, and they wanted to help her too. So she started out last September with 10 women, 10 prostitutes, teaching them how to do basket weaving. And when we were there in January, she has 30 women now that she is teaching how to do. So she is changing lives of 185 women, which are in turn changing the lives of how many people around her? The ripple effect. So again, this goes back to 17 years ago. This picture was taken 17 years ago. These young guys, not all of them, three of them have, since the day I met them, they have still walked with me. They're working somehow with Nehemiah, whether it's one of them is John, second from the right. He's a pastor, or a lay pastor, as they call him. He's never been to school. He doesn't know how to read and write, but he can still share the gospel. And so he basically goes with our Jesus video team, and he shows the Jesus video wherever the drill is operating. That's what he does. James, again, he's Turkana. These are all second, third, fourth sons, so they have no future as a child. And we worked with them one time, and all of a sudden, this is what God is doing. James, he leads a church way, way, way out in the bush. And it's a growing church, and that's what he does. Robert, far left, he works with our drilling rig. And he's actually, in the last couple of days, I keep getting letters from Larry, and he said, hey, Robert's drilling by himself. Turkana boy doesn't read and write, but he can drill a water well. 17 years ago, Robert couldn't even look me in the eyes because he thought I was going to beat him if he did something wrong. And so that's where he was. And today, he's like he's my son to me. And he's drilling water wells for his people. Kolo, we're still waiting for him. We're still waiting for him to come to the Lord. These guys are still all witnessing to him, but right now he's in a dark place. But that's not too bad. 3 out of 4, God's got a plan for us. Church growth, again, church growth is just, it's just incredible. Everywhere we go to drill a water well, and then the Jesus video team is presenting the Jesus video in Turkana language, right, out in the desert. And as soon as the drilling team is leaving, you know, they're saying, well, when are you sending somebody here to plant a church? We need a church. And through that, there's been, it's hard to say because a lot of them are bush churches, 60 to 65 churches out in the desert. what they're all over the place. I shouldn't say out in the desert, because Pastor Wilson, again, years ago, his vision was always to go into the refugee camp and share the gospel in the refugee camp, because when there was peace in their country, they would take the gospel back to their countries. And so now there's churches in Burundi, Congo, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Somalia, and probably a few others around. I know they have them in Nairobi. They're all over the place because Pastor Wilson had this vision to share the gospel right inside the refugee camp where he could reach. And now it's expanded out far beyond his reach. Baptisms are always fun. The left one, it's sort of hard to take pictures of, black people at night. That's just the truth. But they're watching the Jesus video out in the desert. They just sit down in the sand and we put up the projector and a sound system and they watch the Jesus video in their language. So that's quite a thing right there, and there's a story behind that too. Baptisms are always fun. It only rains once in a while. Well, actually, this past few months, it's been raining a lot more than usual and stuff. But, it might rain every 12 months or every 18 months. So when it rains and the rivers are flowing, they say, hey, let's have a baptism. And so this particular day, they started off. Wilson doesn't know how many people. He says, but it's raining. The sun is out now. So the river's starting to go down. We should have a baptism. And who's going to show up? So he gets down there Sunday morning, and there's 40 people, and he starts baptizing people, and he looks up, and the line's not getting any shorter, and by the time he's done, he's baptized about 65 people. So that's how the church is growing. Now, this is the newest church. This is in the slum, and it's already too small. And so that's one of my goals, is I want to start sharing to raise some awareness, raise some finances to build this church. And basically, it's right. I look at our Western way of thinking a lot of times. I don't think there's too many pastors that would just purposely say, I want to go start a church, down 97th Street with all the people that they need the church, but they can't afford to tithe. They can't afford, they're brand new. They don't even know who Jesus is, but that's who Wilson is. He wants to be in there. And so that's what he's done. On this side, those piles of stones all over the place, that's all graves. So people they just died in the slum. They just buried them there, and they're basically forgotten. But once he started to work with the prostitutes and stuff, even the elders in the village could see the difference right in their own community that's changing. And it's only been there for 5 months now, right? So they came to him and they said, we want to give you more land so that you can expand your church already. Because they could see, like, people have to sit outside. I think it's 45 by 45 or something like that. So basically, we probably need something 90 feet by 45 feet already. It's just... One of the things that really impacted me about church that day, they're singing and worshiping and stuff, and then a young guy stands up and they're going to do an offering. And so he starts talking, and it was back and forth between Swahili and English, and I was catching pieces and bits and pieces. And then all of a sudden he says, so put your hand up if you want to be a joyful giver, but you don't have any money. And so about 7 or 8 people put their hand up. Most of them were probably alcoholics or drug addicts or even the prostitutes. And they put their hand up, and this guy, he reaches into his pocket and he starts going over and giving them money. There. And I'm sitting there in tears. I'm thinking, wow, here's a young guy, a worship leader, stuff. He's got nothing, but yet he wants to see his people succeed in being joyous givers. I'm thinking, wow, I can't even wrap my head around that, right? And then all of a sudden he sits down and another guy stands up from the back just in the congregation. And again, he doesn't have any money. So he's giving out, here's 5 shillings here. And he's giving out his money for these people to go and so they could tithe. Or they could just take it home and feed their families. They didn't care. There was no strings attached. And it just spoke to my heart. I'm thinking, wow, we have a lot to learn in the West. So a new season. How long do I have?
Keep going.
Okay. New season. So it's exciting where we are. You know, I look back and I think of where we've come from and stuff like this, but this new season that we're in right now, we have our brand new drill. It's about a year old now. It's just incredible. We can drill a water well now in about start to finish between 10 and 14 days. It used to be between 2 and 3 months. So it's just exciting to be around there. The drilling team is excited because, you know, we're not having so many breakdowns. They're excited to be helping the Turkana people. They're excited to be able to share the gospel in their simple way, right? So we don't know where God's taking us, but it's fun being on the ride. So after 17 years, this is a vision that we had a long time ago to have a compound that I could bring teams out to and stuff. So that's in the works right now. This is when we showed up there in January. That's sort of where we were with our house. It's a 2-story house. It's it'll be a nice house. And we're putting everything we did out of metal because the termites eat everything. So we thought, well, we might as well make it to last at least 100 years and stuff. And so we used all metal, which is nice for joining, and everything's nice and straight. That's what I said. That is the straightest roof in all of Africa. I will guarantee it. So, but, you know, God has been so faithful. And all the finances to do everything have come out of one little church in Virginia, Virginia Beach, Virginia. And again, that was God. It's God's timing. It's God. He just opened the door. It was at a house meeting, and Larry got to share just a little bit of what we were doing. And this church said, "We've been praying that a small ministry like yours would come along and need our help, because this is what we want to do. We don't have a church. They meet in a house all the time." And so in the last 2 or 3 years, they've probably poured $250,000 into Nehemiah, into the ministry, for all of our equipment, our brand new, you know, our newest equipment and stuff. And so, you know, God is a faithful God, and it's just exciting. Again, a new season. I've always had a lot of ladies ask me, "Oh, can I come on a trip? And I want to go on a trip." And we didn't have something per se that, you know, we could just throw them right into and stuff like this. So Kirsten and Kathy and 2 young girls from Medicine Hat, they came on this trip and they sort of planned what they wanted to try and do. And they ran into an organization called Days for Girls. And what that means is they want to buy back the days that the young girls lose because they don't go to school and have their cycle. It's a thing of shame and stuff. And so they brought these hygiene kits for young girls, and it's there's chapters, I guess, all over the world, as far as I know, right, Kathy? But we found one right in Nairobi that we could work with, and so the girls would take young girls, students, and they would just share with them about Jesus' love and these kits and how to use them. You know, I won't get into that, guys. You can talk to Kathy if you need to know. And stuff, but it's an open door. You know, God isn't, he's not in a box here. What can you do? What can you imagine? And he'll see it through. And so the girls, they imagined this, and they gave out 225 of these kits. And, you know, I mean, it's a drop in the bucket, but it's helping. It's changing lives. These girls here now, they don't miss school. They don't miss a week of school every month, right? And puts them behind, so now they're on a bit better of a playing field. So the upper story. Uh, 27 years ago, Pastor Wilson showed up in the Turkana Desert. He's a Kikuyu, so he's come from a different tribe. He didn't know where Turkana was. He had to go to an encyclopedia because he didn't have Google back then. And he went and he found Turkana. And he was a little disappointed because he thought God called him to be a missionary. So he thought, well, I'm going to travel the world and share Jesus with everybody. And then he found Turkana, and it's in Kenya. So all he did, he just jumped in a matatu and traveled up to northern Kenya, to the Turkana region. And he jumped out of this van. And he figured, the guy said, well, this is where you wanted to go. This is Lakere. And Wilson looked around, and there's nothing there, nothing. And so he had a discussion with God on the side of the road and said, well, God, you've made a mistake this time. So he crossed the road to the other side, and he's going to wait for Matatu. And some old guy came along. He was speaking Turkana. Wilson was speaking Kikuyu or Swahili. They couldn't understand each other, but the gist of it was there wasn't a van coming back for 3 days. So he was stuck there. And so he started mingling with the people, and he saw these people were starving to death. I think he started out, he had 900 shillings, I think it was, $90 or 9,000 shillings, $90 in his pocket. And these people are starving to death. So remember, he's going up here. He's going to be a missionary. He's got $90. God's going to do some amazing things. So he bought food, and everybody ate and ate and ate. And then 2 days later, nobody had any food, and they were all starving, including him. And so he kept, talking to God and praying. So he was going to go back after a month, and he ended up staying the first time for 9 months. And his family, they were worried about him. They said, no, you can't go back there. There's got to be a church here in our own community. And he said, no. He said, this is where I'm supposed to be. So he came back, and he set up a church. And for 3 years, he would just pray and have church service underneath a tree. And I know where the tree is. It's in Lockery. And he had three old women that couldn't understand Kikuyu. They couldn't understand. So he had to pray. And actually, God gave him Turkana. So one day he woke up and he's speaking. He thought he was speaking in tongues, but all the Turkana people could understand him. And, oh, this is amazing. So he started to share with these three women, and they met for 3 years. That was it. And one day, one of the old women, they came to him, and every time I sit down with Wilson, I God sort of pulls back the blinds, and I see a little bit more of the story. So one day, this woman came to Wilson. She said, she doesn't know what a drilling machine is. She's probably never seen a white man, and she comes and she says to him, she said, I had a dream last night. She didn't even understand the dream, and Wilson didn't either. But she said, there's some guys with white faces, and they're going to come, and they're going to beat the rocks, and water's going to come out of the rocks. 27 years ago, I wasn't even saved. I got saved 27 years ago. Then, from 26 years ago to 17 years ago, God was teaching me, training me, taking me here, teaching me good leadership, teaching me bad leadership, showing me things that I needed to know before I get to Turkana. Even when we get to Turkana, it took me a while to realize, I think it was 2 days, that they needed water, but how do you get them water? And so the upper story, God brought us together out in the desert. A guy that wasn't even saved, but God was working in my life. And you know, that's how I look at it nowadays, is I shouldn't even be alive because of the stupid things I did. And I know there's a bunch of farm boys in here, so we won't raise any hands because that'll incriminate you. But the silly things that you did as a kid, I shouldn't be alive. But I know now God had a purpose for my life. And he, even though I didn't know him, I was furthest thing from him, he never left me. He pursued me and brought me out to the desert. And when I got to the desert, I also had that conversation with God, and I'm thinking, God, you made a big mistake. But as I look back now, I think, wow, he knew exactly what he was doing. And here we are, 17 years later. We're just working on our 68th water well. There's been about 60 churches planted. The Jesus video team is going. Florence is helping to change hundreds and hundreds of lives. Laura Philemon is helping to change hundreds of lives. The young Turkana boys that we worked with 17 years ago are changing hundreds of lives. And I'm thinking, it's got nothing to do with me. God, in his grace, has done all this. And I'm so thankful that I said yes. So the ripple effect, you never know when the small things that you do will be what God uses to do great things. And the thing is, I can't take any credit for it other than saying yes to God. And it's just incredible. So there's a short video, 8 minutes. I don't know if we can play it. Can we play it? Oh, we're going to try something different. So if you guys got 8 minutes, there's a video that the video team or the videographers came up with us this time, and we wanted to sort of redo the video that we did 10 years ago. And even that spoke to the videographer because he came with me 10 years ago, and this time he was just blown away by what God was doing. He said, from 10 years ago to now, he said, it's just night and day. He says, I cannot believe what God is doing through this ministry. Sorry. One, two, three. Well, maybe it's not going to play now. Of course.
Check.
These people are dying because they don't have clean water. It's about hope that there's a future. Turkana people call themselves the forgotten people. Temperatures run 40, 45, 50 degrees Celsius. Many of the challenges are basically based around water. They could travel 25 to 35 kilometers one way to find water for their family. And the consequences of it, cholera, typhoid, all these different diseases, they're all waterborne diseases. The moment I knew that we were supposed to figure out how to drill water wells, I took a walk down to a dried up riverbed, and I saw a little baby sitting in this dried up riverbed, and she was crying. And as I approached the baby, I get up to this well, and about 15 feet down, I see her sister, who's 7 or 8 years old, scooping muddy water into a crusty tin can to bring it up to her little sister. you know, that moment that it sort of hit me, like, these people are dying because they don't have clean water. They are either drinking out of a river that's polluted. If there's no water running in the river, what they do is they start digging in the dried up riverbed, and they'll dig down for 3 feet the first day, and then that dries up, so they're down to 6 feet. I've seen them as deep as 20 feet, and then what happens is the sand caves in when somebody's inside the burrow, buries them alive. Their way of life, they just move over 20 feet and start a new well. How can we just turn a blind eye to, you know, these women, children that are dying because they don't have that opportunity to have just clean drinking water? I thought, you know, we're able to do something about it, so I just had to try. Nehemiah Construction Ministries is providing hope by bringing water wells.
We sink these wells all over in the desert, where there is no hope, where there is no life, where people are desperate.
The people that are impacted by what we do, well over the 100,000 people that we've helped, they're so appreciative, and that's one of the first things that they say is, our babies aren't dying because we have clean water. We go out to some of these wells that we've drilled, and the women come running. They start to sing songs, you know, thank you for the water, old white man. We have the water drilling, which is opens the door for so many other things. We have an education program. We'll put them through high school. We'll also put them through college. Without an education, basically they can't even get a job. It's really a dismal place for them to be, hopeless, let's say.
Before Nehemiah came, we had so many challenges. I had no money. I would have not finished my school. Then we also had a challenge of medical care. In our area, we had no nurses. So it was so painful because people could just die. Even a simple outbreak, so many people have passed. Just because of Nehemiah Construction, they were able to pay for my school fees, and now I'm living a better life. Life in Lopur, as compared previously, is a change Lopur right now. We have medical services, we have education, we have water.
For our culture, everything is being handled by men. A woman is just there to be seen but not to be listened to. For my case, I could not continue with my college, my education. My father was paying for me, but he died. So I had no one to help me. I realized there are many women undergoing the same problem I'm in. So if that is me, what of 100 Turkana women? I was suffering.
When you give education to a Turkana person, you are basically empowering him or her. Turkanas are generous by nature. So whatever they have, they give freely.
Due to my education, not only Florence has transformed, but I've transformed 180 young women. We will take their children to school. They will do good businesses. They will be heard in the community. Their lives has really changed.
Now she's out in the desert teaching how to do gardening and market her products. She also teaches them how to save money. It's the ripple effect where, you know, all the families are benefit from one education. It is a battle. I've had times when I just want to quit. I look back and I see where we've come from. And I have to say that I wouldn't change it. So what we've done over the years with Nehemiah Construction Ministries is really quite remarkable, but the need is ever growing and we need your help. You can make a difference. You can save lives. You can educate children. You can be a world changer in this desert they call Turkana.
So basically, if you want to take a picture, that's sort of some needs that we're looking for right now. We're praying about it and stuff like that. If you want to, everybody can have their iPhones out and take a picture of that right now. I got no problem. So again, you know, everything that has happened in these last years, you guys are part of that. Whether you're praying for us or you're supporting us or whatever, just inviting us to come here and speak and share about what God is doing in the Turkana region. It means so much to me, and I thank you guys for your partnership, for your prayer, for your support. And I don't know, we're probably a little bit over, sorry. If anybody has any questions or anything, I could probably take something right now, or we can talk out in the back. So, but other than that, unless Dave Nelson has something to say, I'm sort of done. Thank you guys so much for having us.